be with us on this Sunday. It's always a joy to see our young folk come back and be back in, so a joy to have them. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. God has been so good, and it's a blessing. Turn your Bibles. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. Now in chapter 14 of Jeremiah, verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth, talking about a drought they'd had, were in. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish, and they are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Let's bow our heads, please, and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us here today. Our Father, we humbly bow our heads and hearts before you, and we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, for a divine touch of God. Thanking you for what you have done in the singing of the songs. And Father, surely you have met with us in the Spirit of God present, and we thank you and praise you. I thank you for every individual who's come this way, and then those who could not come, those who are sick, providentially hindered, and I thank of Brother Levi and his situation. We pray for him the best we know how. I ask there be a divine touch of God to help him and help his family. And then, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us here today. You know who's here. You know exactly what our needs are. You know those that are unsaved, and I pray conviction be real and draw them that may be saved and born in the family of God. Then we pray for those who may be saved and now the will of God. You speak to their hearts, and you know what we all need in this service. I plead the blood of Jesus. I claim the victory in Jesus and confess the devil defeated because of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, today we pray right now that you'd have your way. Magnify yourself. Take thy word and use it for your glory. And we realize, Lord, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. I pray, God, you'd help us here today. I stand as a needy creature, and I pray for a divine move of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we begin trying to share this message with you, I just titled it A Great Tragedy. Thought about several titles, No Water, Thirsty, whatever. But just a great tragedy here. Jeremiah is known as that weeping prophet and had a burden for his people, had a desire for them. And in the beginning of his ministry, was not persecuted much as far as his prophecy, but later it became very difficult for him. But he stuck with it, kept preaching, kept prophesying, kept doing what God called him to do. And Jeremiah wept for his people. And so may God help us today that we'll have a desire, a concern for our people, and that we may desire God's people be what we all ought to be for his glory and his honor. Something that God has burdened my heart about. And I pray that God speak to all of us and help us in a special way. And as we come today, we're interested in the fact that we've come to the house of God. We have been blessed. We have been stirred by being here. But God has something to say to us from his word. And as Jeremiah the prophet stepped out to prophesy and God's word came to him, he preached. He shared what God gave him and did that. I pray today that we not just come to the house of God and hear singing, hear somebody preach, and go out the doors, but I pray the Holy Ghost of God do a work down deep inside, that when we leave out, God has done something for us and helped us in a special way. Everybody's not in the same situation. Everybody's not in the same place. Some are more grown spiritually, some are babes spiritually, and some in between there. But we're all somewhere in there if we're saved. If you're not saved today, then you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'll just begin with that one, an introduction to that. Jesus saves. Thank God Jesus saves. You say, preacher, but do I need to get saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You say, but I'm not too bad a fellow. I'm not too bad a woman, a boy, a girl. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. Everyone needs to be saved, born in the family of God. And nobody can enter into heaven without knowing Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior. And I realize now babies knows and they hadn't reached that age of accountability. They're taken care of, but I'm talking about those beyond that. The Bible said you must be born again. Wednesday night I was talking about praying in Jesus' name and the debate going on about that. There's none other name to pray in but Jesus. And he's the only one, he's the only mediator between man and God. And so how else can you pray except in the name of Jesus? And there's none other name to be saved. Neither is there salvation any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is that? That's Jesus. He saved. God said Joseph called his name Jesus. That angel appeared to him and said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And I'm glad he saves. I praise God that he does. And today, if you're not saved, then it's a good day to get saved. You say, preacher, what makes it a good day? Because the Bible says today's the day and now's the time. And so not a better time, not a better day. You're living, you're in the house of God. And the word of God being preached to you, you're hearing what God said. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And say, well, let's look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He's the mediator. He's the one that will save. He does the saving. He saved. If you ever got saved, you got saved through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're not saved, then it's because you don't know Jesus. I pray that God will speak to your heart today, even right now. I pray the Holy Spirit's tugging your heart and dealing with your life and that you're realizing the fact how much you need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a greater miracle can take place than an individual be lost without God and get under conviction and realize they need a Savior and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be born in the family of God by the power of God and get new life in him. Ain't not a greater miracle that could ever happen to anybody. It doesn't make any difference. Brother Levi down at the hospital now, he can come back both arms healed and shoulder healed and waving both arms and come through the door. That'd be a miracle, but that wouldn't be a miracle near what it would be if some precious soul came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to anybody else. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you if you're lost and without God. You need to be born into the family of God. You say, preacher, would God have me? He so loved you, he gave his only begotten son for you. Amen. He loved you so much, Jesus did, that he died for you. He loved you so much, he rose from the dead for you. He rose so much, he went back to heaven to intercede for you. He loves you so much, he sent the Holy Ghost back into the world to convict you and draw you. He loved you so much, he brought you to the house of God this morning to hear preaching. And he loves you so much, he's speaking to your heart right now. I say, praise God, he wants to save you. Amen. And it's good to know that. I rejoice in that. Let me give you three things today. I see in these verses of Scripture and the tragedy of the hour. And certainly it is a tragedy. Let's look at the people, first of all, that we're talking to. I've been talking to unsaved here for a few minutes, but let's look now at the people he's talking to. Look in verse number 13. For my people, for my people. Does that remind you of anything? 2 Chronicles 7:14, that great verse we use about revival so much. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, so forth. My people. He didn't say if the drunks out here. He didn't say if the politicians. He didn't say if the homosexuals. He didn't say if all that crowd out here on drugs or drug cartel. He didn't say anything. He said if my people would humble themselves and pray. And here he says, for my people have. And so he's talking to his people. I realize he's talking to Israel in that case. But we're applying that to us today. We are the people of God. As sure as Israel was God's people, and they still are God's chosen people. I'm not minimizing that. But I am saying this today. Thank God for the church, the saved, the born again, family of God. Amen. I'm glad God brought the Gentiles in. I'm glad God drafted us in. Amen. And got us in. And that's another message in itself. But aren't you glad you got in? Amen. Glory to God. And I'm not a Jew, but I love the Jews. Through them we got the Bible, most of it. And Jesus Christ came, and we have salvation. I say hallelujah. I praise God for that. But I'm a Gentile. I'm one of those uncircumcised Gentiles that was out there without any hope and didn't have any hope whatsoever. But God so loved me, He sent the gospel anyhow, amen, and brought me in, saved me by His marvelous grace. Made me a part of the family of God. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Well, I'm back on getting saved again, but I can't help it. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. If you're saved, you can't help be happy about it either. Amen. Can't help yourself. But he said, for my people have committed two evils. Now, my people, I want you to look back in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter, chapter 2 of Jeremiah. And here he said, I'm breaking in about the middle of that verse. I remember thee. The kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. He's talking about how good it was. They first got saved, how much they were meant to him, what they did. Look at verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me? And have walked after vanity and are become vain. He said, what have they found wrong with me? He said, they were precious to me in the beginning. I was precious to them. And you remember that first love? Even in the as in Revelation 2, began talking about the seven churches. First one was Ephesus. And talked about that church and said, I got someone against you. A great church, but said, I got someone against you. You've left your first love. And here he's talking, these was his first love. They loved him, and it's good. Boy, he's taking care of them. They loved him in return, and what a blessing that was. But then he said, now you've two evils you've committed. And said, what have I done? What have I done that your fathers, what iniquity have they found in me? That's God speaking and asking that question that you've turned. I guess it would be good for us to ask, what has Jesus done to us that we would turn from him? Why would we leave that first love? Why would we stop loving him with all of our heart? Why would we let other things get in our way? Why would we let up living, really giving God our all? Why would we do that? What iniquity have you found in God? And God's asking that question. And have walked after vanity and came vain. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt and led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and of pits, and the shadow of death, through a land no man passes through and where no man dwelleth. Look at verse 7. I brought you into a plentiful country. And when God saved you, he brought you into a good country. Plentiful country. Amen. Blessings flow. How good God's been to us. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. Amen. But when you entered, you defiled my land, made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now he's talking to the people. He's talking to the priests. He's talking to the preachers. He's talking to the prophets. He's talking to all of them and said, all of you let up and let things come in your life that ought not to be. And then we picked up on verse 9 where I began to read. He said, but yet, I like this. Wherefore I yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children. He said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pleading with you. I'm not going to toss you out. I'm not going to kick you away. Brother Hazelwood, teaching in Sunday school this morning, talking about that. And we don't need to realize, we need to realize the fact that God does love us in spite of us. Amen. Now hang with me here this morning. I want you to know God loves you in spite of you, in spite of your sin, in spite of your backsliding, in spite of your whatever it is. You say, preacher, I'm not backsliding on God. Well, you may not have. You may be growing in grace. You may be on fire for God. You may be really doing everything God wants you to do. You may be exactly where God wants you to be. And all that may be true. On the other hand, you may not be. Amen. So you and God have to work that out. I'm not the judge of that, but God will work in your heart and God will help you. But I'm saying to you, God sent a message. And through Jeremiah, he sent it to his people. And I want you to look over here. I've caught something in chapter 14. I want you to look with me in verse number 3. And the nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. Now here the nobles sent the little ones to the water. They couldn't find any water. And they came back ashamed. And I got thinking about that. And you know what? If we're not careful, we try to send somebody else to get our water. Let that soak in on you. Well, preacher, you give it all to us this morning. Our Sunday school teacher, you give us everything we need. And the preacher, you preach all that we need. You give it all to us and we'll get it. And if you don't get it, we're just not going to go get it ourselves. We'll send somebody else after it and let them try to help. It's always somebody else's fault, you know. Preacher didn't preach right. Teacher didn't teach right. Singers didn't sing worth a hoot. Pianist messed up. It's always somebody else is doing something. Why don't we get in the Word of God and dig something out for ourselves? Why don't we get some help ourselves? Hey, man, we get discouraged. We get down. We get out. And why don't we find it in God's Word and go to the well ourselves? If we're going to a pit that's empty, we need to start digging a well, amen, and let God help us. Jesus is a living water, amen. He is a fountain of living waters, John chapter 4. That woman at the well, we talk about her often, but I love it. And she came looking for physical water. And when she got there, Jesus said, I'll give you a well of water springing up on the inside. And she went, she forgot her water pot. She got so excited. She left her water pot and left out with a well. I say glory to God. Amen. I'd rather have the well than a bucket of water. Amen. A bucket of water, you can use that up, but a well keeps on springing. It says springing up. That's like an artesian well. You know artesian wells, they just keep coming up. Just keep coming up. I say glory to God. I'm glad that's what Jesus is inside of us. He's an artesian well. Just keeps springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Aren't you glad? And if it ever gets dry to us in our inside of us, it's because we're not drinking from the right fountain. We're letting the fountain blow. It's coming up, but we're not getting it. We're missing it. We should maybe send somebody else after it. And maybe they're not looking in the right place. But we need to go ourselves. And look at those nobles. They sent the little ones after their water. And they must have been sitting at the house, I guess. Or twiddling their thumbs doing something. I don't know what they doing. But they wasn't looking for water. But they needed water. They wanted water. So they sent the little ones after the water. I'm saying to you today, you need some water. Hey, and it's been raining quite a bit around here lately, which I'm very thankful for and praise God for that. But before that time, it got very dry at my house, and I'm sure at your house too. It got dry. And it come up a cloud, hear a little thunder, and boy, you get excited about it. Things are going to rain. Amen. I'm getting hungry. I'm getting thirsty. I'm wanting to hear that thunder roll and see the clouds come and the lightning flash. And I'm talking about spiritually now. I'm not talking about physically. It did come, and boy, the thunder and lightning and rain came, and it sounded so good to hear the rain hit the windows and just hit the porch or whatever. That's when I wish I was in the barn loft somewhere. I listened to it rain on tin roof. Amen. But it sounds good. But I tell you right now, it's a comforting sound. It makes peace inside when that comes. But you think about it spiritually in your life. You've been dry and you've been thirsty and you need some water. And you're God's people and water's available. And I'm glad it is. And I say hallelujah. If my people now, the problem, notice the problem if you would please. In verse number 13, they have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And I touched on that a while ago. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water. They've left the one that has the life. They've left the one that is the water of life. And when you begin leaving Jesus out and start other things, then it becomes dry in your house. And it certainly gets dry around your place. Amen. And so Jesus Christ, he is a fountain of living water. I cannot emphasize that enough this morning. What I'm trying to say to you is Jesus is our answer. He is what we need. We need him. We need him. We need him. We need to get our minds on him. We need to get our eyes on him. We need to think about him. We need to thank God for him. We need to glory in him. We need to praise him. We need to lift him up. And he's worthy of all of our praise and glory that we'll ever give him and everything. And so today, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And today you need him. And said, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. I mentioned a while ago in Revelation 2, when it said to the church of heaven, you've left your first love. And you remember when you couldn't wait to get to the house of God? I mean, you got excited when it come time to go to the church, and you couldn't wait. And boy, it's time to go. If you're not careful now, you get up on Sunday morning saying, well, I guess I better get ready and go to church. Oh, me or amen one. I hope it's an amen right there. But if it's oh, me, I'm glad that you got it. Amen. And it'll help you because you say, well, preacher, I'm tired of hearing you preach. Well, I'm even get tired of looking at your face. No. I'm kidding. I really am. I don't get tired of looking at you. I really don't. You may get tired of hearing me preach, but I don't get tired of looking at your face. Amen. I'd much rather preach to people than I would pews. Amen. Preaching to pews, you don't get any response at all out of them. They don't even turn you off. Amen. They never listen to start with, so you don't know where you're getting anywhere or not with pews, but with people, they at least give you some kind of expression back. And, of course, out of one eye, I don't see you too good, but out of the other, I'm looking fairly well. Amen. And I better get around off of that. But we need that. Amen. We need excitement about coming to the house of God and letting God do something for us. And sometimes we come in, it's just, well, I'm here. Now, Lord, do something for me. Well, if you're here, that's fine. That's great. But we need to have our hearts open and receptive and looking and expecting God to meet with us and the power of God to come and God to do something. Amen. And to help us along the way. And said, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. He is the fountain of living waters. And then he said, you've done something else. You've hewn you out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, cistern is something that's dug out in the ground and water runs into and it holds water. And then he said, built you a cistern. You dug a cistern, but it's broken and it doesn't even hold water. And he said, that my people committed two evils. They forsook me. Then they dug some cisterns. If we're not careful, we'll leave him and try to do it ourselves. And amen. Trying to pray. A while ago, I was talking about these folk over here praying. And time to take an offering, we thought. I said, we're not going to take an offering until they get through. Did you know what? We're so programmed sometimes. We name my programming in the bulletin, but we get so programmed, we do it everything same time, same way. And sometimes God may just move in and want to do something different. And if that tires your nerves up, I hope it get tore up real soon. Hey, I'd much rather come to church and let God tire my nerves up about what's going on around there than just come in and have the same routine and not see God do anything in the service. Amen. Amen. What if somebody jumped up right now and came to the altar? Would that tire you up? It ought to bless your heart. Amen. It ought to say, praise God, make me want to preach even more. And it helped me, amen, get in the gear and go more. I say to you, praise God, we need to come to the house of God like that. And say, turn loose, Lord, let her go. Amen. Pray where we're at the altar praying, where we're shouting praise unto God, where the man's preaching, where they're singing the song. How many they sang, who sings, what songs they sang. Listen, sometimes God may lead us to do something different. Somebody been planning to sing. If that makes you upset because somebody else sings instead of you, you don't need to be singing anyway. If I think I'm going to preach and God's got something else on schedule and somebody else does a preaching, that bothers me. I ought not be preaching to start with. Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Hey, we just come to worship God. We just come to hear from heaven. Let God do something for us. Amen. I this morning, I was thinking about Brother Clay back there. I saw him in the choir. God laid him on my heart to pray. I never called on him to pray before. And that young man, I've been watching him, and God, I see God get on him. God do something in him, through him, with him. And I just got a nudge. You said, well, y'all not calling that young man. God was in it. Man got up here and prayed God on. Say amen. I say hallelujah. It's not who prays. It's not who preaches. It's not who sings. It's God having his way. God being magnified and glorified in all things. Amen. And so today, praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm feeling a little touch of God down deep inside. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the house of God this morning. Amen. And so I praise God. And so sometimes we hew out these cisterns, and they're broken cisterns. They can't hold water. They're like the pits the noble sent the little ones to. And they got tired, found no water, and they came back ashamed. And so sometimes you try to go to the wrong places and find the water. Some people looking in all kinds of books. Good books is fine. I'm not against good books. I'm not against study. I'm not against any of that. But I'm telling you, you can't replace the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't replace the power of God. You can't replace the Spirit of God. You can't program God. You can't make God. Amen. And then let me say this to you, and I'm going to plug this in right here. I'm talking about the problem now. And the problem sometimes is that we have hidden sin in our life and won't confess it. Amen. And sometimes it's very prevalent. I love folk. I have nothing but compassion for people. People do mess up. I've messed up. You've messed up. We've all messed up from time to time. Have nothing but compassion about that. But when we do mess up and God deals with the hearts, we ought to at least be willing to repent and get right with God about it. Hey, some things we just go on like nothing's happened, like everything's just fine. Oh, well, that's just some one of those things. It's not just one of those things. Amen. It's not just one of those things. Sin. There was a day when sin, sexual sin, was such a disgrace, and it was looked at a disgrace. God hadn't changed his mind about sexual sin. It's still sin before God and need to be dealt with, confessed up, and get right. Amen. You're welcome. You say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. I know. That's why God called me instead of you. Amen. And we need some help, amen? We need some help in these days. We're in a mess. And we got, everything goes by, and we just let it go by and think, well, it's going to be okay. God said we need to confess sin. And God said confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And so we need to, you say, preacher, you getting serious about that? I am. Achan's had sin in his life, and the whole crowd lost a battle because of it. And that's a shame. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God in the church service, and God struck them dead. And I realize that's a particular situation. God was doing a particular thing. I wonder this morning if God struck everybody dead in this house at lying to God or says they're right with God, nothing's wrong. I wonder how many we'd carry out of here today dead. Amen. Hey, listen, God knows our hearts. God knows where we are and what we are and our sin, our problems, our situations. He knows all about us. And I'm saying to you today, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, shoot them out cistern, broken cistern, that can hold no water. And we're trying today to get everything we can to fill in the void. But what we need is old-time preaching, old-time singing, old-time worship. Let God be God. Repent for sin. Get right with God. Amen. Call it like it is. And let God help us. Amen. Who are you this morning? Let me give you the answer for it. Look in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, and I close. I'll be like Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 and 4. Brother Hazelwood mentioned this morning. He said finally in chapter 3, first word he said was finally. Chapter 4, he said, finally again, kept on going. Finally, chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I'll not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord. I'll not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Has scattered our ways as strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. There's the answer for it. He said, return, acknowledge your iniquity, and return that backsliding Israel. And so we close with the answer for all of it. What we need to do now, if God's speaking to your heart, you realize you're not where you need to be with God, boy, what a great opportunity just to come to Jesus. Some of you sitting in the house of God, been playing around with sin, thinking, I'll get by with this. No, God won't let you get by. God will bring it out someday. Some been just slacked up, let up. God will deal with that. We'll never see what we need to see as long as we're letting up. Then some just need to get saved. Why don't you just let God help you today? God sent a message. Jeremiah the prophet had a message for his people. God stirred my heart. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray you'd help us here today. Lord, in the house of God, you know every heart. You know exactly what everyone's thinking right now. You know exactly where everyone's life is. You know exactly what we need at this hour. So I pray in Jesus' name, God, you'd help me and help our people in these days of lackness, in these days of giving in, letting sin go, and not yielding and obeying and confessing. Lord, I pray today that folk would return and cry for the joy to be restored. I pray today there'd be folk here that would say, Lord, help me. Save the unsaved. Stir the hearts of everyone out of the will of God. Challenge every heart to do better. Help us all see ourselves like you see us. In this invitation, I pray you rebuke the devil because he'll try to steal it away. I plead the blood. I plead Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.